Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the Mishnah, 6 lines from the top of Daf Mem Dalid. Before we begin the Mishnah, let's just glance at the side of our Gemara under our Nosei, the topic heading, where we have written Tiltul Ner, Muktza Machmas Mius, and Muktza Machmas Iser. The general discussion surrounds the moving or forbidden or prohibition of moving an oil lamp. We will discuss two kinds of Muktza, or we should say two kinds of Muktza will be featured in this sugya. One is called Muktza because Machmas Mius, because it is disgusting. And another kind of muktza, which is called machmas iser. Iser means iser melocha, a muktza associated with the fact that the candle was burning at the entrance of Shabbos. When Shabbos entered, so it was prohibited because of the iser of putting it out. Let's now look at the Mishnah. Metaltalin ner chodosh aval lo yoshan. One is allowed to move around a new oil lamp. A new oil lamp, though it's made of clay, since it's never been used, so it is not disgusting. However, a yoshan, a candle or an oil lamp that was already used in the past, being that it's made of earthenware, when combined with the oil and the fact that it was used for burning, becomes the earthenware, the clay becomes mo'us, which means disgusting. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol haneros mitaltalin chutz min haner hadoylek b'shabbos. Rabbi Shimon doesn't acknowledge this iser, the muktza machmas ius. He says that you can move all kinds of oil lamps except for one that is currently burning, currently lit on Shabbos. While the oil lamp is burning, so Rabbi Shimon acknowledges you cannot move it around. The Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Metaltalin, we have of course a Tanaic source. As you can see, the next few lines are in a frame, which denotes a Tanaic source. Metaltalin ner chodosh avalo yoshan devrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now this we saw in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, this is a new name, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol haneros metaltalin chutz min haner shidliku bo b'shabbos. All oil lamps are allowed to be moved around except for an oil lamp that was lit at the beginning of Shabbos, even though right now it is not burning. Rabbi Meir acknowledges the concept of muktza machmas isur. That means that at the entrance of Shabbos, it was burning, it was lit, and it would have been usher to put it out at that time. Because on Shabbos, there's a prohibition of putting out fires, so there was an iser kibui associated with that candle. Hence, at the entrance of Shabbos, it would have been usher to move it around. However, he doesn't acknowledge muktza machmas mius. Therefore, a candle that wasn't lit at all at the entrance of Shabbos, even though it had been used in the past, it is okay to move it around. Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, chutz min haner hadolek b'Shabbos, kofsa mutar l'taltala. Rabbi Shimon says you can move all oil lamps around, except for an oil lamp that is currently burning. And Rashi says, while it's burning, it's also because you might end up extinguishing it. But if it were to go out, according to what we're understanding, it would be okay. And that's what the source says. Kofso, if it goes out, mutter letantala. Avol kois k'orov ashoshis, lo yizizom mimakoimon. These are different types of oil lamps. Kois, sometimes translated literally as a cup, but it represents a certain type of oil lamp, and a ka'ora, a bowl, and ashoshis, a lantern. You are not allowed to move them even if they went out. This will be dealt with by the Gemara, because it seems that Rabbi Shimon, though he said once it goes out it's mutter, with regard to these, even once it goes out it's not. We need to explain that. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is the son of Rabbi Shimon, he says, Mistapek min haner hakova, one can draw oil from a lamp that went out already. Umin hashemen hametaftef, afilu bishol shaner doleg. If you have an oil lamp that is lit and oil is dripping from it, and you had put a receptacle under that to catch the dripping oil, you're allowed to use that oil even while the candle is still lit. That's the source, and we will now analyze the last shita, Reb Lezer Reb Shimon. Omar Abaye, Reb Lezer Reb Shimon, Sovar lo kavur b'chada. He holds like his father on one count, Polig Olei Bechana, and disagrees with him on another count. Let's just emphasize that Rabbi Lezer Shimon is very makil, very lenient, more so than his father. The Gemara explains, Sovar lo ke'avua bechana. He acknowledges his father's position, the less le mukta, that in principle, they both don't acknowledge the idea or the concept of mukta. That comment, by the way, we see often in Muktzah Sugyas of Shimon Lesley Muktzah. However, that is a very general comment, but it has exceptions to it. Upoligolei Bechado, Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon disagrees with his father on one count. The Ilu Avua Sovar Kovo In Lo Kovo Lo. Rebbe Shimon says that only if the lamp went out, then you can use the oil. The Ihu Savar, Rabbi Lezer Shimon holds, Afal Gav De Lo Kovo, even if the lamp didn't go out, oil that's dripping from it, you can use it. So the emphasis here is, what is the halacha between regarding oil that drips from a burning lamp? According to Rabbi Shimon, all the time, kolzman, as long as the candle is burning, you cannot use the oil that is dripping from it. And according to Rabbi Lozer Shimon, even if the lamp is still burning, oil that dripped out of the lamp is available for your use. Let's make no mistake, though, that no one is going to allow the drawing of oil from the lamp itself while the candle is still burning. That is not a problem of muktza, that is a problem of kibui, of an actual malocha. We go on in the Gemara. We have a Tanaic source. It's a quote from that which we saw above, and we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, enabling you to find where this quote is coming from. And we also have a note on the side under our Mivneh. You'll notice a diamond, the diamond that appeared in the Gemara. Well, this is plain here. The word Ka'ora is highlighted with a diamond. L'havlit Hashoni Bein Shnei Hamakoros. We're going to have a source here, and a few lines later, another source. And we'll use the diamond as a point of reference to see the difference between these two sources. We'll also see a double underline under the names Ula and Marzutra. These are Hezberim Vaseifa Avokos Kora. We'll have to explain what we're about to learn now. So we saw above, it said Avokos Ukora Vashoshis Lo Yizizom Mimakoimon. This was Rabbi Shimon speaking, that these kind of oil lamps, even once they go out, you cannot move them around. My Shnohani, why are these different? After all, Reb Shimon said that a ner, once it goes out, you're allowed to move it. Why these not. Omar Ula, Seifa Ason L'Rebbe Yehuda. Ula gives a very simple approach, and that the Seifa, the source that we just quoted, is not Rebbe Shimon at all. That only Rebbe Yehuda would say that even though it went out, it's still prohibited. Rebbe Yehuda holds from Muktza. Maskif lo marzutra ihochi mai avol. If this quote that we just saw in the frame is Rebbe Yehuda, why does the word avol appear? The word avol indicates some type of contrast, that namely that the ner was allowed and these are not. But according to Rebbe Yehuda, the ner is also not allowed. So the word avol, which is an expression of contrast, wouldn't be in order. There is no contrast between ner, kais kara shoshes, according to Rebbe Yehuda. Elo Omar Marzutra, Le'olam Rebbe Shimon. Marzutra explains, he's the second explanation to this Tanaic quote. He says that it really is Rebbe Shimon. V'chi kashori Rebbe Shimon, v'ner zuta, d'daiti iluya. Rebbe Shimon acknowledges, or he allows, he's lenient with regard to a small type of lamp where he knows at the beginning of Shabbos that it's going to burn for a relatively short amount of time, knowing full well that during Shabbos it won't burn that much longer, and therefore his mind is already on using the residue oil. Avolhani dinafishi lo, but the kais karan hashoshes, which are large receptacles, he doesn't have his mind on it going out because it has such a large amount of oil. They have such a large amount of oil that they will burn through Shabbos. And hence the owner disengages removes himself from any thoughts of using the oil because the oil, he knows, won't be available to him. If by some quirk the lamp goes out, nevertheless, he didn't have any intention on using it to begin with. And therefore, even Reb Shimon will acknowledge that it is forbidden. The Gemara asks, V'hot Tanya Moisar HaShemen Shebener V'Shebe Ka'ora Osir Rebbe Shimon Matir. Notice, here we have the word Ka'ora, and we have Rebbe Shimon allowing. In the previous source, which Marzutra said was Rebbe Shimon, Ka'ora is featured as, you're not allowed to move it. The Gemara explains, Hasam Ka'ora Dumya Dener. In the source we just quoted, where Rebbe Shimon is Mekil, where he is lenient, it's because the Ka'ora is actually a small type of Ka'ora. It's taught together with the word ner, and a ner is a small oil lamp. Hacha, the source that we were dealing with here, meaning here above in the Gemara, Ka'ora Domian de Kais. You can notice where the diamond Ka'ora is, you'll notice that right before it, you had Kais. There, the Ka'ora is a large Ka'ora, just like a Kais is a large oil lamp. And therefore, even Reb Shimon will agree that residue oil is forbidden. So we see that even though Rebbe Shimon was reputed as holding leslei muktzah, as not holding from muktzah, we see that it's that he doesn't hold from muktzah would mean that even though something is inaccessible halachically at Bein HaShemoshes, at the entrance of Shabbos, nevertheless that doesn't make it aser for sure. That's what we would mean, leslei muktzah. However, if something was not only inaccessible at Bein HaShemoshes, but there was no expectation of it becoming accessible through Shabbos, even Rebbe Shimon acknowledges that such an item would not be allowed, even if by some quirk it happens to become mutter. The Gemara had described that as leslei daiti alei, his mind was not on it. There's a concept that we'll see later in this sugya, as someone, when we say someone's mind is not on it, it could be that he actually puts it out of his mind. He doesn't anticipate it becoming useful, and hence he puts it out of his mind. The term you'll see later is dochilei biyodayim, where that kind of situation, even Rebbe Shimon acknowledges that it's not allowed on Shabbos. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a triangle appears, and it's numbered 1 and 2 a little later. And on the third wide line where that second triangle appears, you see a squiggle underline, Eloi Itmar. That's a transition expression from one version to another. And in transition expressions, or when transitions take place in Gemaras, we here in Gemara markings in the Shas Ozir attempt to highlight that point of transition. So on the side, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we've noted a triangle and we've written Shlavim Lahavin Divrei Rabbi Zera. These are stages in trying to understand Rabbi Zera Binyan Pomoit Shidliku Bo Ba'oisa Shabbos regarding a Pomoit. A Pomoit is an oil lamp, but we have to emphasize it's made of a metal. Hence, it doesn't enter the realm of mi'us, that concept that we mentioned when we were learning the Mishnah, where we were featuring a clay or earthenware lamp. The Gemara, Omar Rabbi Zera, pomoit shidliku bo b'Shabbos, a pomoit, a metal oil lamp that was lit at that at the beginning of that Shabbos. L'divrei hamatir osir, l'divrei haoser mutar. Sounds like a little bit of a riddle. So what the translation is that he who allows forbids and he who forbids allows. What do we mean? So he who allowed is a reference to Rabbi Meir, who was lenient with regard to the Ner Yoshan, the earthenware lamp. After it went out, you can move that around on Shabbos because he does not hold from Muktzah Machmas Mi'us. Here he will aser based on a concept of Ner Shiviku Boi Boisa Shabbos. Now, we should mention, maybe for as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, he mentioned if we look in actually the Rashi, the Divrei Hamatir, that's Rabbi Meir, Hamatir B'Ner Yoshan. This is a reference to Rabbi Meir, who allowed a Ner Yoshan. He will tell you that a Ner of Mateches, a metal Ner that had been lit at the beginning of Shabbos, that in fact is Osir. And that's what we call Muktzah Machmas Isur. And he had mentioned that in the Tanaic source that we saw at the beginning of the Gemara section, where Rabbi Meir said, "Kol neros metaltelin chutz min haner shidliku bo b'Shabbos," except for a ner that had been lit that Shabbos. That would be a reference to a metal ner, a metal oil lamp that was lit at the beginning of Shabbos, and that is also because of muktzah machmas isur, because at the entrance of Shabbos it had already been burning, and there was an isur kibui on it. The next point was L'divrei Oser Mutar. L'divrei Oser is a reference to Rabbi Yehuda, who asers a Ner Yashan. He forbids the moving of a round of an oil lamp that had been used in the past. That's an earthenware oil lamp, because he held from the concept of Muktzah Machmas Mius. However, this, the Pomoi, is Mutar. It's not disgusting, therefore it's okay. What that would imply, though, is that even if it were lit at the beginning of Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda would allow its movement once it goes out. So the Gemara asks about this. L'meimra de Rabbi Yehuda muktzah machmas mius islay muktzah machmas isor leslay. Is this suggesting that the only muktzah that Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges as being prohibited is that which is disgusting, but a muktzah that is prohibited because of its Isur, its prohibition status, the fact that it was burning at the entrance of Shabbos, that he doesn't acknowledge, Vahotanya, but we have a Tanaic source that teaches otherwise. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Haneros Shel Mateches, all metal oil lamps, Metaltelin, Chutz Min Haner Shidliku Boi Vaoisa Shabbos, except for a metal oil lamp that had been burning that Shabbos, had been burning at the entrance of Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda says, is forbidden. So that Rabbi Yehuda, who is oser by the clay lamp because of Muktzah Machmas Mius, will also hold that a pomot that had been lit that Shabbos is forbidden as well. Eloi itmar hochi itmar. Therefore, if Rabbi Zera had said anything regarding the metal lamp, the following must have been said: Pamot shiligu olav b'Shabbos, divrei hakol oser. a metal oil lamp that had been lit at the beginning of Shabbos, everyone will agree is Osir, and everyone will mean Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. They will agree that it is Osir, lo idliku alav, if it was not lit that Shabbos, divrei hakol mutar, then everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, it's okay. There's no muktzah machmas isur. At the entrance of Shabbos, it wasn't lit. And also, it's not mos. So, there's no reason for prohibiting the moving around of a metal oil lamp. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and a mivneh, structural note. The double underline that appears is featured here on the side. These are shlavim, stages. And we also have an aleph in the Gemara text, and that will be followed on Amud Beis with a beis. These are shlavim, lohavin, Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav, Rabbi Yehuda who quotes Rav, binyan mita shiichad olamos, regarding a bed that was set aside or designated as a surface, we'll say, for counting money. Let's accept at the outset that money, cash, and we'll say all money items are forbidden to be moved on Shabbos. They coins and the like have no purpose, no useful purpose for use on Shabbos. And at the same, and they are not considered kalim either. So it has no use. So the money itself is something forbidden to move. Here we're focusing on a bed that was designated, that was yichada for cash, for counting money. Now, this concept of yichada is also termed hazmona. This is an expression you'll see when you glance at the Rashi. Rashi, you can see toward the end of the page, around six lines from the end, Sheichad olamos mitzara behazmona be'alma becomes forbidden by simply designating it. Ve'afapi shelo hiniach olei ha'moilom, even if you didn't actually use the bed for that purpose. The Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, mita sheichad olamos osur l'taltala. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that a bed that was set aside or designated for counting money is forbidden for use, even if it was never used. Meisvei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. We have a question, and you also notice that we have a long question marking that takes you, the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, it takes you down three lines from the top of Amud Beis, shows you the length of the question. Meisvei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, metaltelin ner chadosh aval lo yoshan. You're allowed to move around a new, unused clay oil lamp, but not one that had been used. Uma ner de lahachi avida, mind you, an oil lamp, in this case the clay oil lamp that is made, it's manufactured for the purpose of lighting wicks. Ki lo hidlik ba shori l'tatula, if it was never used, you're allowed to move it around. Mita de lav lahachi avida lo kol shekein, a bed that was not manufactured for counting money. Bed is used for what beds are used for. All that this Gemara featured is someone that designated a bed for counting money, but wasn't made for that. So, lo kol shekein, and all the more so it should be allowed to be moved if it was never used. Elo i'itmar hochi itmar. If Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, said anything about this topic, he must have said it thusly. So here's our second stage of presenting Rav Yehuda Rav. And we also have another marking, and on the side under our nosei, Hemshech means continuation of the discussion, Mivneh, the structural note. We feature this house shape, which highlights the expressions Shiichada and Lo Yichada. Hevdel bein mito Shiichada lo Lo Yichada lamos. The difference between a bed that was designated for money and as opposed to one that was not. So here we're going to upgrade Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's statement regarding the bed. Mita sheichado lemos, a bed that was designated for money purposes. Hiniach oleho mois osur l'taltala. If it was actually used, even if it was on Friday, but it was used, it had been used for money, it's osur to move it around on Shabbos. And as we mentioned and Rashi emphasizes, even if the money was removed from the bed on Friday, it's Osir Latatala. And it's not like, let us say, the din of a Ner Shamateches. Rashi points out on the second line from the top, Velo Domi Lener Shamateches Deshor Rav Yehuda, Dehasam Velo Yichado. The oil, the metal oil lamp, apparently it was not designated as an oil lamp. It was a metal oil receptacle that someone may have used by filling this metal bowl with oil and putting a wick in it, but it wasn't designated for that. It wasn't designated as an oil lamp per se. So that Rabbi Yehuda would allow, but the bed that was designated and also used, even though it may have been on a weekday, that makes it forbidden. The Gemara continues, Lo hiniach alel mois mutar l'tatala. If the bed was designated for the use of money, but it was never used, so it will be allowed for betiltel on Shabbos. You can move it around. So that the mere designation is not enough to prohibit something if it was never used. Lo yichad olamos, let's say it was never designated, then the halacha is very different. Yesh olamos osu l'taltala, the bed, only if it has money on it, will it be forbidden to move around. Ein ole olamos muter l'taltala, if it does not have money on it, so it will be allowed to be moved around, even though on the weekday, even though on Friday, there may have been money on it. Provided that there was no money on it at the entrance of Shabbos, at the Bein HaShemoshos time period, which is the time between sundown and actual darkness of Tzeisah Kechavim, if money was not on it then, so we will tell you that if it was a bed that wasn't designated for money, it will be allowed to be used. However, if it was not designated, but money was on the bed at Bein HaShemoshos, that will render it usur for the rest of Shabbos. That point, of course, will be subject to the Machlokas Tanoim of whether or not you hold from Muktza or not, but of course this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, the Amora's opinion, that if money had been on the bed, Bein HaShemoshos, even if it was Lo Yichado, it would be forbidden to be moved around. Omar Ula, Mosiv Rabbi Elozer. Now here we have a long question, and we've indicated that with the encircled kuf to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text and descending vertical dash line. All of these lines form a question, and we'll skip to the main point of the question. You can see a dashed underline that appears a few lines from here, and it says Af al gav de havu olei bein hashmoshes, even though money was on it. Well, we don't know what yet, but even though money was on it bein hashmoshes, we allow movement. That will be contrasted with what we have dashed underlined just now, shelo hoy olei bein hashmoshes. So the Gemara asks, muchni shelo. This is a Muchni is a wheel of a cart, a cart's wheel. Now, we should point out that this source is from Maseches Kelim, a Masechta that deals with vessels and their susceptibility to Kabbalas Tuma. The source has a number of details that are related to the issue of Kabbalas Tuma, but we're not going to focus on that. Rashi is quite extensive on the topic, but it's not the focus of our sukya, so we're not going to spend time explaining and giving background to that, other than what we need for our sukya. So it features a wheel of a cart. Bizman shi nishmetes ein chibur lo. If the wheel is removed from the cart, so it's not considered attached to it, and the ein nimdedes imo, and it doesn't figure in the calculations needed to establish whether or not it is a kli or not. The ein matzelis imo ba'oyel hames, and it doesn't serve to protect in the case of tumas mes when it is in the same room as a mes or a kezias min hames, so it won't serve to protect from the tumas mace. The ein gurin oisah b'shabbes bizman sheyesh olehamos. And this is what is of greater relevance to our sugya, and it is that you can't move the wheel around if there is money on it. Ha, and now the inference, ha ein oleha mois, if there is no money on the wheel, sharya, it's mutter to move the wheel around. The afal gav to havul lo bein hashmoshes, even though money may have been on this wheel at the entrance of Shabbos. So we see that the fact that something, the money was on the item at the entrance of Shabbos, that doesn't create any further iser. So why does Rav Yudah Marav above mention regarding the bed that the bed will be allowed only if money was not on it, bein hashmoshes? The Gemara answers, Hahi Rabbi Shimon hi delesle muksa. The Tanaic source involving the wheel is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't acknowledge the muksa concept, namely muksa as defined by the status at the entrance of Shabbos. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, even though something might have been forbidden at the entrance of Shabbos, that does not automatically render it forbidden in movement for the rest of Shabbos. That's lesle muksa. However, Rav Yehuda, Rav, Kerev Yudas Filei, Rav, who is restrictive, holds like the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who does prohibit something that was inaccessible at the entrance of Shabbos. The Gemara at the top of Mem Hei Omer Aleph points out, Hochi Nami Mistabro, the Rav Kerev Yudas Filei. It's also logical, or likely, as the Gemara will explain, that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Rav. And here we have a point, by the way, a long point, starting from the top line, going down six lines. The nun, you can see that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, is a nun standing for nekuda, a point. So the Gemara says that Rav is a subscriber to Rabbi Yehuda's approach. The Omar Rav, manichin ner al gabi dekel b'shabes, the ein manichin ner al gabi dekel b'yom tov. One can place an oil lamp on a tree from before Shabbos, and one cannot place an oil lamp on a tree on Yom Tov. Let us glance at the Rashi at the top. Manichin ner mi ba'od yom. That would mean while on, in the case of Shabbos on Friday, al gabi dekel v'yidlak shom b'Shabbos, and the lamp can continue burning on Shabbos. They're positioned on the branch of the palm tree. Delekol amechash, there is no fear lichashi chaveh lishkele minei, that once it goes out, he will end up taking the lamp from the branch. V'nimso mishtamish b'mechubar. There is a prohibition of using trees, and that would mean, let us say, someone had hung his coat on a tree branch. One would not be allowed to remove it from the tree on Shabbos. That's called nishtamish b'mechubar. And here we're saying that if you put the oil lamp on the tree branch Erev Shabbos, there's no problem with that, because there's no fear that he'll come to take it off the branch on Shabbos. The kevon the akzei l'dvar gomer osir ben hashmoshes, since he set it aside for the burning oil lamp at the entrance of Shabbos, is katzi l'kuliyoma. It's considered muktza for the rest of the day. So since it was inaccessible at the entrance of Shabbos, there's no fear of him coming to take it and coming to violate the problem of mishtamish b'mechubar. However, the ein manichin, Rashi says, b'yom tov, quoting the Gemara, of course, you cannot do the same thing with regard to yom tov, the shokel, because on yom tov, oil lamps are themselves allowed to be used. There's no prohibition of using, of burning things on Yom Tov. And therefore, on Yom Tov, d'shokel u'monach lo'lei, he will take it off the branch on Yom Tov. There's a fear he'll take it off the branch. U'mishtamish b'ilon, and end up violating the problem, this din of mishtamish b'mechubar, mishtamish using the tree. So, according to Rav, the candle, the oil lamp, as far as Shabbos is concerned, since oil lamps are not, if they were burning at the entrance of Shabbos, they're not useful to him on Shabbos. So he won't come to violate the Isser of Mishtamish B'Mechubar. Now, this whole approach fits in well with the approach of Rabbi Yehuda to things. So the Gemara says, "E amrs bishlamal de Rav Rabbi Yehuda svirolei." If you say, as we maintain, that Rav, who was restrictive with regard to the money on the bed at Bein Hashmoshes, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, haynu deshoni bein Shabbos liyom tov, then we can understand his distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Shabbos, the oil lamp was inaccessible at the entrance of Shabbos because of the Isur of Kibui, so it remains Osir for the rest of Shabbos. Yom Tov, it's not Osir at the entrance of Shabbos, therefore he cannot be Mekil with regard to the tree. Elo, E Amris, Karebi Shimon, Svirolei, if you, however, were to hold that Rab holds like Rabbi Shimon, Mali Shabbos Umali Yom Tov, why would he make a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov? If there is an Isser Ishtamshis B'Mechubar on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, and just like on Yom Tov, because of that Isser Ishtamshis, he's machmir not to put it on the tree branch, so too on Shabbos he should be machmir as well, and yet we see that he's not machmir. Therefore, it must be that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara in its continuation will be asking, is that really so, that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Before we go on, just to point out an interesting, we'll call it an irony, that, and this is something that happens often in Halacha, that if you subscribe to what you think is a position of leniency, it doesn't always mean that all outcomes will be lenient. And here's a classic example. Rabbi Shimon is lenient with regard to Muktzah, but because of his leniency with regard to Muktzah, it will come out a stringency with regard to the placing of the oil lamp on a tree from Erev Shabbos. Because there's a separate Isser of Ishtamshis B'Mechubah, which Rabbi Shimon would acknowledge, that will thereby serve as a point of restriction, of restriction with regard to the use of the tree for the oil lamp. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who holds from Muktzah, who ostensibly is Machmir, you end up with a leniency and hence being allowed to use the tree branch for holding the oil lamp. The Gemara asks, V'Rav Kributa Svirolei, does Rav subscribe to Rebuta that there is this concept of Muktzah, that Bein Hashmoshes is a defining factor? V'Hah Bo Minei D'Rav, it was asked of Rav, Mahu L'Tiltuli Shroga D'Chanuksa Mekami Chabori B'Shabata, what is the halacha regarding a Hanukkah menorah? That's a shraga de Hanukkah, a Hanukkah menorah. Can you move it from its position where you lit it? Let us say you lit it outside, which is the ultimate place for lighting it, for the pirsum hanes, for publicizing the miracle. And we discussed this in the second parak of this masichta. But you are in fear of the Chaborim, a nation that moved into the Persian area that were against the personal burning of candles at different times, we'll say, without getting into details. But they were opposed, and if they were to see a Hanukkah lamp burning outside, so that could lead to trouble. They will certainly confiscate it and possibly further trouble. So, can you move the Hanukkah lamp? The Omar Lahu and Rabba said, Shapir Domi. And of course, we're talking about Hanukkah that coincides with Shabbos. And Rav is saying that you can move it. So the Gemara answers, Shas Hadchak Shaini. Extenuating circumstances are different. If there is some type of danger involved, so you are allowed. Deha Omale Rav Kahana v'Rav Ashi l'Rav. The Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi had asked Rav, Hachi Hilchasa, is that the way to go? Is that an accurate ruling? Omar Lahu, and Rav answered them, Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon l'smoch olav b'shas hadchak. Rabbi Shimon is big enough that we can rely on him under extenuating circumstances. Namely, according to Rabbi Shimon himself, there is no problem that once the Hanukkah menorah goes out, so if the fact that it was burning at the entrance of Shabbos doesn't bother Rabbi Shimon, there's no prohibition. Rabbi Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon, therefore the fact that it was burning at the entrance of Shabbos does pose a problem. However, if you have extenuating circumstances, so Rav says, then you can rely on Rabbi Shimon. But in general, Rav does not hold like Rabbi Shimon, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and that was the point that we were making at the beginning. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.